Professor, we've got to find another way.
Until you do, I'm afraid we'll all have to follow the habitat's laws, including ZPG.
But we have room for 3-4 times our current population. Chiefs, this habitat could hold 1 million people if it had to.
Living cheek by jowl in poverty?
Wilmot replied sternly.
With all the crime and perversion that goes with intense population density?
I guess, Holly agreed reluctantly. Then her chin came up. But I don't see how we can expect the women of this community to give up having babies.
You'll have to convince them of the necessity, said Wilmot. You'll have to produce a formula for planned population growth and convince the inhabitants to agree to it.
Glumly, Holly replied. I wish I could. Trouble is, Everly's just going to ignore the problem, shove it under the rug. As long as he's running for re-election, he won't bring up any issues that could cost him votes.
But you said he can't ignore it.
Not in the long run, no. But he won't mention it while he's campaigning for re-election, that's for sure.
Then his opponent must bring it to the voters' attention, said Wilmot.
He doesn't have an opponent, Holly said. He's running unopposed.
So far. The deadline for registering as a candidate is still a week away. The 15th, isn't it?
The 15th falls on a Sunday, Holly said, so the registration date's actually the 16th.
Ah, yes.
But who's going to run against him? Nobody. We'll have to draft somebody from a computer lottery. Wilmot brushed his mustache with one finger and said,
I should think that someone who feels strongly about this community would step into the election race, if for no other reason than to force Everly to face up to the issues.
You know somebody who'd do that? Holly asked eagerly. Would you?
Oh, heavens, not me.
Then who?
You, my dear girl. You've got to run against Malcolm Everly.
8 January, 2096, evening.
Run for election?
Pancho said, her voice high with surprise. That's what Professor Wilmot said I should do, Holly answered. Pancho grinned at her sister from across the coffee table in her living room. Holly was sitting on the sofa, her feet curled up under her, while Pancho lazed back in the recliner.
You know, kid, Pancho said, the professor might be right. You'd make a terrific chief administrator.
Holly wasn't so certain. Cheeps, Punch? I don't know anything about making speeches and running for office. I wouldn't know where to start.
You helped Everly when he ran the last time, didn't you?
Just with polls and statistical analysis, stuff like that. I didn't do any of the campaigning. I was strictly back office.
Well, I know a thing or two about glad-handing folks, getting them to vote for you. That's how I got to be top kick at Astro for so many years.
Would you help me? Holly's eyes were wide with expectation.
Help you with what? Asked Jake Wanamaker, coming through the bedroom door. Holly's gonna run for chief administrator.
Really?
I'm not sure, Holly said hesitantly.
Yes, she is, said Pancho. She just doesn't know it yet.
Urbain picked miserably at the dinner Jean-Marie had prepared for him. She wasn't terribly interested in cooking, but lately she had applied herself, with the aid of video tutorials, and found that preparing food bought at the Habitat's farm markets was more interesting and rewarding than heating pre-cooked packaged meals. Their kitchen was small, barely big enough for the two of them to sit at the table, but it had a full range of appliances and storage cabinets. Usually, Edouard seemed to enjoy her fledgling efforts. He always complimented her, but not this evening. His fork hardly touched the chicken Kiev she had so painstakingly prepared for him. "Is it too bland?" she asked. He looked up at her, startled out of his thoughts.
"Eh?"
"The chicken," Jean-Marie said. "Is it spiced to your liking?"
"Oh, it's fine. Fine."
He put a forkful into his mouth and chewed, his eyes wandering off to some inner vision.
"What's the matter, Edouard? You seem upset."
"Eberly," he said, almost in a growl.
"What's he done now?" It isn't something he's done. It's what he hasn't done.
Urbain laid his fork carefully on the table. He still will not release your satellites?
No. Not until I promise to agree to his scheme for mining the rings.
Then why not agree? If it is important to finding your alpha vehicle, why refuse him?
Because it is wrong, Urbain snapped. Besides, Nadia Wonderly would go berserk.
Pooh! Let her go berserk, said Jean-Marie. She is an underling. Her work should not be allowed to stand in the way of yours.
Urbain shook his head wearily. My dear, you don't understand. She believes she has discovered life forms in Saturn's rings. If I agree to Eberle's scheme, it would be a clear signal to her, to the whole world, that I don't believe her.
And so?
It would break her heart.
Jean-Marie was surprised. Her husband had never before voiced such sensitivity about anyone working under him.
It can't be that he is attracted to her romantically, she thought. I know him well enough, and besides, she isn't an attractive woman.
He actually cares about her work, her hopes, her standing with the rest of the scientists. Jean-Marie's admiration for him rose a notch. Still, she prodded gently. Is her work more important than yours, Edouard?
Are her claims about creatures in the ring more important than your vehicle wandering across the surface of Titan?
He looked at her for a long, silent moment, and she could see the pain of clashing emotions in his eyes.
Jean-Marie, is physics more important than biology? Is one avenue of scientific investigation more important than another?
But if you can't do both...
Obviously struggling to control his temper, Urbain said, I will not allow that politician to place Wonderly's work in opposition to mine. I will not stand for an either-or situation. Both lines of investigation must proceed.
But neither of them will if Eberle has his way.
Then I must find a way around him.
Jean-Marie marveled at her husband's newfound tenacity. A year ago, he would have backed away from any confrontation. Now he has found his courage, and he is suffering for it.
There must be a way around Eberle, Urbain muttered.
Jean-Marie thought idly that there was always a way around any man. Suddenly, she was shocked to realize that perhaps she could succeed with Eberle.
The man has a huge ego, from all she had heard of him.
Could I turn his head? She wondered.
Do I dare even try? What would Edouard do if he found out?
Dr. Wonderly ought to be in on this, Raoul Tavallera said. He was sitting at a table out on the grass of the bistro with Holly, Pancho, and Jake Wanamaker. The restaurant was filling up, people taking all the outdoor tables and even a few of those inside the restaurant's small building. Holly had just told him that she had decided to run against Eberle for the chief administrator's job. Nadia? Holly asked, surprised. Why her? Tavallera leaned forward slightly in his chair, ticked off his fingers. Eberle's going to bring up that business about mining the rings, right? When he does, you're going to have to show why we shouldn't do it. So you'll need Dr. Wonderly on your team to give you the technical facts you need. Mining the rings? Pancho asked. For water ice? What else? Holly replied. Lord almighty, said Wanamaker. There must be gigatons of ice in the rings. You could make a fortune selling water, make this habitat as wealthy as Selene. Wealthier, Pancho said. But if there's living creatures in the rings, we'd be breaking the IAA's regulations, Holly pointed out. Besides, it'd be immoral, said Pancho. Wanamaker gave them a knowing look. Morals and regulations won't count for much if the people in this habitat know they can get rich. The IAA'd send an enforcement team out here, Pancho said. And the people here would fight them off, Wanamaker countered. Wouldn't take much. You want to run for Secretary of Defense? Pancho teased. I could, Wanamaker said, entirely serious. Now, wait a sec, Holly interjected. This is all guesswork. We don't know for certain that the rings really have living critters in them.
That's what Dr. Wonderly's trying to find out, isn't it? Wanamaker asked.